Good afternoon. Welcome to Three Tune Tuesday for this first day of August, Tuesday, August the 1st. You have found your way to my cozy cottage in the digital countryside. Come in. Everyone is absolutely welcome. There are more than enough oversized, well-cushioned Victorian chairs for all. I am your host, Bonaparte. You are listening to Blind Skeleton Online Radio, and this is Three Tune Tuesday. Three Tune Tuesday is an opportunity for me to share with you three songs from the early era of recorded music, before roughly 1926, 1927 or so, when music was still recorded acoustically, when the world was perhaps a little quieter than it is today, perhaps a little slower, and music was still played by wind-up phonographs. So please sit back, close your eyes, and let yourself be transported back in time to the 1920s with me. Last week, of course, there was no Three Tune Tuesday live stream or podcast, primarily due to the fact that I was on a very well-deserved vacation, so welcome back after a week off, and I'm certainly happy to be back with you. Vacation last week consisted of a 9-hour road trip to the beautiful Smoky Mountains in western North Carolina. We ended up starting in, crossing through, and ending in six states: Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, back into Virginia, Tennessee, and finally North Carolina. Of course, the trip back was another 9 hours in the reverse order. If you have never been to the Smokies before, and you have the opportunity to do so, I do highly recommend it. It's absolutely beautiful country out there. There's a little bit of something for everyone to do, whether you are an adventurer or just want to sit back, enjoy the scenery, and perhaps photograph it or paint it. There's something for everyone. Now, this was not my first time down to the Smokies with the family. This has been a routine, standard family vacation for us for years and years and years. Now, each trip consists of a variety of similar packages and routines that we go through on a yearly basis. And to keep a bit of variety, we throw new things in every year. We mix and match. We will cycle out a few things that we've done and cycle in a few new things to do. For instance, every trip includes a whitewater rafting adventure. We will go either down the Tuckasegee River if we have younger children with us. It's a more gentle river with only a couple of slightly combative rapids, let's say. If we have an older or a more experienced crowd, we will go down the Nantahala River, which is a more challenging river to navigate, and it's got a really heavy rapid right at the end where the photographer sits and where I have been dumped at least once. It's really a lot of fun. Likewise, we'll usually find the same place to play mini golf every year. One of our first tasks upon arriving is to make sure that the mini golf location is still there. It was this year and it made us happy. We like to go visit the local AZA accredited zoo in Asheville, the Western North Carolina Nature Center. It's a really, really, really peaceful and fun zoo in the mountains. They do a really good job of keeping it up. One of my favorite things to do every year, if I get the opportunity, is to go hunt down waterfalls. I find waterfalls one of the most peaceful things in the world, despite the fact that they are very loud. I could just sit and enjoy a lunch with the waterfalls falling in the background. It's almost like a zen-like activity for me. But in addition to that standard fare of fun activities, we'll also find, as stated, a few new and different things to do every year. One year, for instance, we went hiking up a mountainside with a pack of llamas to carry our gear. We had a picnic lunch with wine at the top, and then we came back down the mountainside with the llamas again carrying the gear. Another year, we went to the Cherokee Casino and the Cherokee Indian Reserve and spent the day roaming around Cherokee itself, which was a lot of fun. Another year, and this year, we actually also found a legitimate gem mine to go gem mining in. A lot of the more roadside attractions one might see that have the words gem mining in them are really just artificial flumes with pre-salted buckets of sand that have a variety of gems already in them. Great for the younger kids, but if you've got, an older child or adults and you really want the more legitimate experience, going to an actual mine is really a lot of fun. Hard work, it's out in the sun, but it's very rewarding. Also, this year we ended up opting for a more cerebral new adventure, and we found a new to us escape room in Asheville. That was a lot of fun. It included some electronic gadgets, which are always a lot of fun to get to interact with. And we did end up escaping with 1 second remaining on the timer. 1 second remaining might as well be a minute. We still scored a victory, and it was a whole lot of fun. So we came home. We decided to spend the trip in 2 days instead of 1 9-hour trip. We ended up stopping around Roanoke, spent the night there, had a meal, enjoyed a hotel, and then spent a shorter trip home the next day than normal. And perhaps after getting home, I had the mountains on my mind when I was thinking up this week's three-tune Tuesday allotment of songs, so they are definitely North Carolina mountains inspired this week. The first song we're going to play today is one named Evening Chimes in the Mountains. This was released by the Edison Concert Band in 1915 on the Edison record label. The Edison record label, of course, was owned and run by Thomas A. Edison, and these records were played on the Edison Diamond Disc players. They were distinct and different from the more standard Victrola or Columbia phonographs of the time. The records were not compatible. Arguably, it had a better sound than the more standard lateral cut records did, but they were very proprietary and it ultimately did not catch on. The Edison Concert Band, in particular, was conducted by Cesare Sodero, who was an Italian conductor who spent much of his career working in the United States. He ultimately became the principal conductor at the New York Recording Department of Thomas A. Edison, commonly referred to as the Edison Phonograph Company, of course. And he was so successful that he was the only artist and conductor that Edison had who Edison would let have the final say as to which of his own works would be recorded and distributed. He was very, very well respected in the industry. Now, this is Evening Chimes in the Mountains.
Thank you.
of course, while I was on vacation in the mountains, I knew that I would still need to wake myself up every morning. And because I am a, let's say, a coffee snob, I brought my own coffee with me. Never sure what will be available wherever I go, and I know that my own coffee happens to be really, really good. I ended up bringing 6 different varieties of Skeleton Brew coffee with me, including my favorite morning blend, which has extra caffeine. And I also brought a more fruity roast for a cold brew for an afternoon, a half-caffeine roast for the afternoon as well if I wanted something slightly more acidic, and a decaf roast for the evening. I actually do drink decaf coffee. It is instant coffee that I will not touch except for developing film, and I do know how to develop film with instant coffee. I'd never suggest to anybody that they actually drink it. Now, the Blind Skeleton coffee is, of course, Skeleton Brew. It's available at skeletonbrew.coffee. It's our own brand. We have now 7 varieties of coffee roasts, including a new light blonde espresso roast. This was actually specifically requested. We were able to get it put together, and I do encourage each of you to go check it out. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't be disappointed. Our second song for the day is one named Carolina Lullaby. This is performed by the Green Brothers Novelty Band. This was a band that was active during the early 20th century. They were a musical group known for their rather unconventional and innovative approach to creating music. Their novelty lay in their unique combination of instruments, including the xylophone, marimba, and bells. They were one of several bands of the era that were exploring new approaches to music, much like the 6 Brown Brothers, who were a saxophone sextet, and the original Dixieland Jazz Band, which brought the New Orleans style of jazz up the East Coast and into New York. The song Carolina Lullaby is a waltz. It really is a beautiful little song. It conjures up an image of a really serene landscape that embodies the beautiful southern charm of Carolina. It's a soothing rhythm, it's very harmonious, and there's an emphasis on the xylophone and marimba, creating the sound that the Green Brothers Novelty Band really was renowned for.
Thank you.
So before we get to our last song of the day, I'd like to share a couple of programming notes. Now that I'm back from vacation, we will be returning to our regular collection of live streams. Next week, we will have 3Tune Tuesday at its normal, regularly scheduled time of noon Eastern Time. And next Wednesday, we will have Electric Dreams, which will also be at its routine time of 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. 3Tune Tuesday runs every week, and Electric Dreams plays on the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month. 3Tune Tuesday, of course, I play three early acoustically recorded songs, whilst on Electric Dreams, I play an hour's worth of early electrically recorded songs, typically from the years 1927 to 1937. I have not yet come up with a theme for either of those shows. I don't know what I'm going to play yet, so I'm certainly happy to accept requests. The Blind Skeleton website at blindskeleton.one will allow you to browse through the catalog of Blind Skeleton Records. If you find a song that you like, go ahead, send in a request, I'll get it in the queue, and as my way of thanking you, I will send you a discount code for a 10% off coupon purchase at Skeleton Brew Coffee. Skeleton Brew Coffee is, of course, our primary source of income here for Blind Skeleton. It keeps the podcasts up and running, and I certainly appreciate all of the patrons that we have, all of the support. The two sites are blindskeleton.one and skeletonbrew.coffee. While you're there, look for us on social media as well. Give us a follow and a share, and please do share the good Blind Skeleton word. So our final song of the day is a song by Sam Jones, who plays this song as a one-man band. Cripple Creek and Sourwood Mountain is a blend of two traditional American folk songs from the Appalachian Mountains, the first being Cripple Creek, and the second, perhaps unsurprisingly, being Sourwood Mountain. The first song, Cripple Creek, is a traditional folk song with, you know, mostly unknown origins. It dates back to most likely no earlier than 1900. It's a staple song for bluegrass musicians even today, and is typically played on either a fiddle or a banjo. Like many traditional folk songs, there isn't any one definitive lyrical version, as the lyrics are usually modified by the musicians who play it for whatever purpose suits their needs at the time. Sourwood Mountain is also a traditional Appalachian folk song, also with a variety of lyrical versions, though they all have some commonalities. The one commonality is that the opening line of the song is almost always the same. And the second commonality is that there are nonsensical line refrains within each couplet. Now, early musicians often used these types of nonsensical lines, such as hey-ho, diddle-a-ma-day. These would be used for a variety of reasons. They would use it to help themselves remember the words that they actually did need to sing. It would be used to help keep a beat. And perhaps most importantly, it would help them keep the time of the song when there simply weren't enough rhyming words to fit the stanza. And this is used quite often throughout the Sourwood Mountain song. The artist of this song, Sam Jones, as mentioned previously, is a one-man band, and he also went by the name Stovepipe Number One. Now, it's a very interesting nickname, of course. He received this name most likely due to his hat, which was a stovepipe hat that he wore while playing, and he also played a stovepipe like a jug. Now, he had originally wanted to use the moniker Daddy Stovepipe on his first recording, which would have been on the Gennett label, which was ultimately not released. But when he recorded it, he discovered that another musician had recorded under the name Daddy Stovepipe just 6 days prior. So he ended up choosing the name Stovepipe Number One, And he probably chose that in particular to make it sound like he was the original. So this particular song and record, Cripple Creek and Sourwood Mountain, is recorded on the Harmony label, and it was among one of the first recordings that Sam Jones ended up releasing. He had previously recorded on the Gennett label, but none of these recordings ended up being released. He really was a true bard in the proper sense of the word. He traveled the land playing his songs for a living with simple instruments, with a guitar or a fiddle, a harmonica, and a stovepipe. And that's how he made his living. Ultimately, he did fade into obscurity. He was known to be alive in the 1960s, but nobody really knows what happened to him after that. So just like a good bard should, he just faded off into the mist and left nothing but his music behind. Listening to this particular song really is like listening to an echo from the past. Is our show for the day. Thank you very much for spending your time with me to enjoy these great old songs. I hope you enjoy them as much as I do. Please join us again next week for both Three Tune Tuesday and Electric Dreams both. Have a fantastic day.